parents, listen, this idea of let the kids do what they want to do and we do what we want is for the birds. Somebody can say amen to that.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Benjamin Franklin said, "The only things certain are death and taxes." It's true. Few things in life are certain, but the principles Jesus set out in the Beatitudes remove all uncertainty about the kind of life that is truly and consistently blessed by God. Yes, He has promised, and those willing to adopt and live out these principles are guaranteed not an easy life, but a blessed life, blessed by the promise-keeping God. As Pastor Grant has shown us, these Beatitudes are the marks of a true disciple. Here now is Pastor Grant with the concluding part of How Can I Discover and Live a Blessed Life? Part 3.
We need to be totally committed. We must be vigilant. We need to become more engaged with our children. Don't just let the kids raise themselves. Spend time with the kids. Be involved with your children. Too many parents find it boring and tiring to spend time with their children. It's so funny. We're in Jamaica. I'll tell you this story. I may have told you this before. It just popped into my mind. Here I was in Jamaica. We're on this incredible beach in Montego Bay called Doctor's Cave Beach. And our hotel was right on the beach. And I was speaking. All these people were around, and so we started chatting. And I said, you know, as a child, we came here often. They said, "What? Where did you live?" I said, "We lived in Kingston." I said, "My dad, you would bring us here to Doctor's Cave Beach. In those days, it would take us 4 hours to get there, 4 hours to get there, 4 hours to go home." And I used to say, "This is a crazy idea." Because we got there, it took so long to get there. In an hour and a half, 2 hours, we were there. My dad says, "Time to go." And we're like, "We just got here." My brother is here. And it was after a while it dawned on me what was up. You see, my dad recognized that one way to get the whole family bonded and connected was to do all the stuff together. 4 hours in the car one way, 4 hours in the car the other way. Listen, there was fighting going on the back seat. He can tell you, we sorted out all the world's problems in a nice punch out. But do you realize how much impact was being made on our lives in some of the discussions, some of the things my dad and mom may say to us that we have never ever forgotten, all the lessons we learned. Are you with me this morning? Listen, parents, listen, this idea of let the kids do what they want to do and we do what we want is for the birds. Somebody can say amen to that. We don't have to panic. For greater is He that is in us than is in the world, and we are going to put our trust in the living God. Amen. Amen. May God help us. May God help us. James chapter 1 verse 5 promises, if any of you lacks wisdom, so instead of panicking, put James 1, 5 in your notes and memorize it and depend on it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. By the way, I talked about my dad, and I know that my kids are grown up. I can tell you, we learned from my dad. So we did a lot of things with our children, and we continue to do that. Amen. We continue to spend time with our children and our grandchildren. And I encourage you, parents and grandparents, don't become disengaged and say, "I'm so glad I'm gone." No. For those who don't know the vernacular, I'm so glad they're gone. It is a joy. Some of my grandchildren are right here, and I want them to know it is a joy to be with you. It is a joy when you come over. It is a joy to hug you. Amen. We just want you to know that. Parents, seize the opportunity. Get close to your children and your grandchildren and let them see the joy of the Lord in your life. Don't be a sad sack. That's part of the problem. Too many sad sack parents and grandparents. Like you've been sucking salt. I don't understand it. Come on, cheer up. Smile. Play a game. All right, that's not what I'm here to talk about. So what was I talking about? Matthew 5:8 states, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what does that mean? Okay. What does it mean we shall see God? Does it mean we'll see God in heaven? Well, that's true. For every born-again believer will see God in heaven. But I believe God is saying something very special about Christians who are pure in heart. Didn't find this in any of the writings, but I think this is what God is saying. So add this to your notes. I believe God is saying that those diligently seeking to be pure in heart will see God showing up in the daily experiences of their life. You can put that on the screen. God is saying, those diligently seeking to be pure in heart will see God showing up in the daily experiences of their life. Amen. God is saying, those diligently seeking to be pure in heart will see God showing up in the daily experiences of their life. You know, I'll never forget about 14 days before we were to get married. I was coming from some meeting in some rural area of Jamaica, and to get back home was a very, very hilly terrain. And the particular road, there was a truck carrying tar or whatever it is that had passed by, oil, whatever, that had passed by a couple of days earlier and had left this slimy surface on the road, and it had just drizzled, so the road was slippery because of the oil or the tar and because of the rain. And I'm coming down the hill, a hill that has no guardrails, and it's just up here and down there, okay? And so as I'm coming down, and I, you know, some of you know, regard me as a fast driver. I was not driving fast. Let me clear that up before you start saying, because he drives so crazy. No, I wasn't driving crazy at that particular time. But as I came down the hill, all of a sudden, the car went out of control and started sliding. So this was a solid wall on that side of the road. Of course, we are left-hand drive. We drive on the left. So it hit the wall over there, then it ricocheted into the road, and then everything stopped just because they saw what was going on. And my car gradually started making its way to the cliff. And I could see it. My anticipation of experiencing the joy of marriage was about to end. I could see it. The car came right to the edge, and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I tell you, no. The car just suddenly switched and went to the other side, crashed in this other thing, flopped up, flipped over, and the car was on its side. And so I was able to, of course, all the traffic had stopped, everybody stopped, came and helped me to get out of the car. And thank God, the marriage did take place, amen? God had showed up. You know, just 2 weeks ago, 2 Sundays ago, the Lawson's family had a terrible accident. I think it was on 309. A car hit them with such force that the car went airborne. And then amazingly, the car came back. And this is my wife's description. And the car came back and hit them again on the driver's door. Can you imagine that? The car went airborne, came back and hit them on the door. And not even the window in the car was broken. And all four of them were able to walk out by the grace of God. The pure in heart will see God. God will show up in the daily experiences of our life. I love that song from the book Brooklyn Tabernacle. It popped into my mind last night as I was preparing this extra point. How many times must I prove how much I love you? Anybody know that song? How many times must I prove how much I love you? How many nights must I wipe your tears away? Help me, somebody. How many storms must I bring you safely through for you to know just how much I love you? Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us? Amen. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And my friend, if you know Jesus, he loves you too. Amen. And we can shout, thank God, Jesus loves me. Amen. And so those who love Jesus, the pure in heart, can rejoice because Jesus, God, will show up in the daily experiences of your life. But let's move on to beatitude number 7. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Notice Jesus did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He said, blessed are what? The peacemakers. For there's a big difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Rather than working to resolve conflict, peacekeepers will often avoid conflict. For they hate uncomfortable conversations and find it easier to have temporary calm over long-term solutions. Am I right about that? Peacekeepers, they'll do everything to keep the peace. But whereas peacekeepers will avoid conflict, true peacemakers will step into conflict and actively work towards reconciliation, even if it's difficult. So write this. A peacemaker is someone who actively seeks to reconcile and restore relationships between individuals and between people and God. I'm not going to talk about that other part, but yes, that is part of being a peacemaker, to try to restore relationships between people and God. And so the big question on the floor, are you a peacekeeper or a peacemaker? Jesus did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Every Christian has been called to be a peacemaker. But sadly, too many of us refuse to obey God in this area. As a result, we allow conflict in our families and conflict in the church to drag on, like the story of the Hatfields and the McCoys, who've been feuding since, guess when? I looked it up. They've been feuding since 1863. By now, most of them have no idea what the feud is about. But we're still feuding. 1863. Let me share with you three key attributes of godly peacemakers. Number one, write this down. Godly peacemakers practice obedience. They realize that God has called us to pursue peace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians My friend, don't think you are that spiritual if you are not a peacekeeper, a peacemaker. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Since every Christian is a part of the body of Christ, God expects us to do everything we can to maintain unity and peace in the body of Christ. Are you doing everything you can to maintain unity in the body of Christ? We love to point fingers at who is not doing it. But are you? Am I? Secondly, godly peacemakers practice forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Oh, my. I wonder, has anybody ever done you wrong as much as the wrongs you did against God? God ties the two. Be forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And if I ask you, how often should we forgive? Some people say 70 times 7. But that's not what the Bible says. We'll have to deal with that another day. There is no limit. If there was a limit on how many times that we can forgive, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? Because by now, our 70 times 7 with God would have run out. Because I bet you, all of us have committed more than 490 sins. Am I right about that? In fact, since this year started, we may have done 490 sins. And God says, forgive just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Thirdly, we can't stop anymore. Godly peacemakers practice humility. Practice humility. Flip the page to Philippians, right next chapter. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says this. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Oh, my goodness. Am I right about it that if we had that attitude, the quarrels would stop? Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Godly peacemakers are humble enough to recognize they will also need mercy and grace somewhere along the line, and are therefore willing to extend grace to others. The Giga Pearl is valued at $200 million, maybe more by now. But it's the result of the irritation that occurred when a grain of sand got lodged inside an oyster's shell and started aggravating the oyster's soft tissue. I hope you know that's how a pearl is formed. When a little sand gets into that shell and starts irritating the oyster, to bring comfort to its anguish, the oyster kept coating the grain of sand with a substance called nacre. And little by little, an amazingly beautiful pearl that is now valued at over $200 million was formed. The pain and irritation resulted in something very valuable and extraordinarily beautiful. Perhaps someone has hurt and irritated you, and so far you've been saying, I cannot forgive. Today, God wants you to know that if you're willing to practice forgiveness, obedience, and humility, he can use this irritating experience to bring about something incredibly beautiful and valuable in your life. Are you listening to what God is saying today? Let it go. Work it out. Practice forgiveness. So there's someone who has hurt you so deeply, you've been holding a grudge against them. God is telling you it's time to become a peacemaker. Hallelujah. And forgive. Beatitude number 6, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Beatitude 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Beatitude number 8, Matthew 5:10 said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Just because we are saved, when we suffer, let's not be too quick to say we're suffering for righteousness. For write this, when we suffer because of our sin, we're suffering as an evildoer. But when we suffer because we're living for Jesus, we will be specially blessed and will receive the applause of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And when we suffer because we're doing what God wants, we will receive the applause of heaven. May God help us that when those times come, instead of being angry with God, we'll submit to the will and purpose of God, so we receive the applause of heaven. Let me close by going back to where we started. Hernando Cortes was successful in Mexico only because he made a total commitment to the mission and burned all the ships, cutting off any possibility of retreat. Here's the question. Are you totally committed to Jesus Christ? Have you burned all your ships? Have you burned all your ships and gotten rid of everything that's holding you back from totally pursuing the Lord? Some of us have some stuff that's what we are holding on to. Am I right about it? Some of us have some stuff that's preventing us from totally surrendering to Jesus. And today Jesus is saying, it's time to burn all the ships. It's time to make a total commitment to me. But if you're here this morning and you still haven't started the journey with Jesus, if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I want to invite you this morning to open your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, to repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and to turn to Jesus, the one who will save you and fill your life with meaning and joy. I hope you'll do that.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.